Mad Radio, Sports Radio 610, and the Radio.com app. Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, Paul Gallant, and Kylie Wong hanging out. Make sure that you're listening the rest of the day for your chance to win Texans home opener tickets against the Giants with sideline passes. You already listened at 7 in the morning for your first keyword. You got two more, noon and 4 o'clock, to win those things. And if you're the right caller with all three of those keywords at 4:15, you're going to the home opener, and you're going to be on the sideline, which is really awesome, only from Houston Sports Leader at Sports Radio 610.
Not totally. No, see, you got to get into the game. You got to get into the game, and they were both a little rusty, and so we'll have to see this week if the rust has been knocked off yet or not.
The grandfatherly Romeo Crennel on Clowney and Merciless. More on that in a second. I got to pay this off. You went to a high school game with Rick Smith a couple of weeks ago. I failed to follow
up. You're
terrible.
Talking to Kylie Wong,
Kylie Wong,
former
yes.
Texan and now owner of the Athletic.
Yes, I know there are three, four people in this room.
Average everyday athlete can get the treatment and recovery
yes.
treatment the pros do. Yeah.
I botched this as a host. I apologize to the audience. Like, genuinely, I did a terrible job. I didn't follow up with you about that. How's Rick Smith doing? What'd you guys talk about?
He's doing great. You know, he's taking care of his family. He's being a dad. He's just spending time. Now, don't get me wrong. He's still very involved in football. He's still very.
How so?
As far as with the league office.
Okay.
Right. So, he gets calls, to ask various kind of league questions. Like, for example, helmet rule stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just because he was on the competition committee.
Right. Yeah. And he's very plugged in.
So he's very plugged in. So, he's very dialed in with what they've been trying to work on, what they've been trying to deal with. And so that was kind of.
I'll tell you what. If I were Rick Smith, this is what I would want to do. I would take a job, a high ranking position in the NFL in New York, but nobody knows who anybody is other than Goodell and whichever stooge he uses is.
Nobody knows anybody there.
Don't be the Greg Aiello. I don't even know who the current Greg Aiello is. I just remember that Greg Aiello was
he was
Baghdad Bob.
He's still there.
But he's not the spokesperson anymore, is he?
They've got a couple of guys, so it's not always
they've gotten
Greg.
Better. They've gotten a little bit smarter with the stupid statements
sure.
that they deliver. Like, Greg Aiello used to come out and be like, we're in the NFL and you're all a bunch of morons. This is how it's going to be. They've gotten a little bit smarter, but I would say he should take a job in the NFL if his family feels like moving up there. I know his wife obviously has to beat all that she's going through then. But because you don't get any scrutiny there. But he might make more money in the NFL office than as a GM.
Definitely a lot easier of a job. There's no doubt about it, right?
Rick Smith's a commissioner like 15 years from now.
Yeah. So, I think he's doing good. He follows the NFL. He follows the team. But he's not in it, day to day. He's not, obviously not watching film and,
yes.
and all that type of stuff.
All right. So the three things that you think you expect to see against the Titans. So
the first one was the bunch routes.
Bunch routes, yes.
We're going to see a good dose of that.
Hey. Yep. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Because I have a question just about the Texans using bunch routes and my
right.
frustration with them not doing more of it. They'll stack guys, but they don't do three-man bunches nearly as often as, like, say, the Patriots.
Oh, without question. Yeah, they really don't. And it's interesting. I don't quite know why either.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe it's something around separation. They don't feel like they have the group
mm-hmm.
that can create the separation. But it is a really, really easy way to create just mismatches.
Yeah, and
right?
quick opportunities.
And honestly, it's also simple reads for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the other reason for really instituting three-man bunch routes, because you're basically, you need to look at one guy. And depending on where that guy goes, that one defensive player, depending on where that defensive player goes, you know exactly who should be open.
And but you're also anticipating the Titans using a lot of those.
I do think the Titans are going to use a bunch of those, especially early, just to try to test and see, is the communication of the Texans better?
Yes.
Do they have a go-to target? That's what I'm wondering. With Delanie Walker out, of all the receivers that Tennessee has to work with, Corey Davis still isn't the guy. Rashard Matthews, I think, is a pretty solid player. But after that, I wonder, who are they going to try to get involved in the passing game for Marcus Mariota?
Oh, I agree. No, I mean, they are designed. You know, first of all, we were talking about Mariota off air. Neither of us kind of think he's really doing too much. I mean, he was
not
very,
very good.
Inaccurate you know, in the game against the Dolphins, right? So any deep balls, he was just overthrowing or just completely missing.
And remember when they played the Texans last year, Andre Hall had the two interceptions on the two deep balls that he threw.
He's just not throwing deep balls well. Everything they're doing right now is quick passes and essentially runs and then play action off of the runs, right? So I like the matchup a lot. I think the defense gets right. I think they be dominant in this game because, you know, Henry and Lewis. Lewis actually looked like a better back in that game.
Lewis might be their best offensive player now that Walker's out. In fact, I'll say that. Yeah, Deion Lewis is their best offensive player without Delanie Walker.
Henry will get one big run every couple of games, but the one that he had against the Dolphins got called back.
For sure.
And that's the thing. Like, is he going to actually give you that big run? Remember last time the Texans and Titans played, he had that game clinching big time
at the end for the cover.
So yeah, I mean, it was, you know, he had that great run. I mean, it was a really good run, but it was pretty clean. Everything was clean for him. So I like how we match up against those guys. You know, I like the fact that, you know, the ball is going to come out quick. So in order for our pass rushers to really get off, they're going to have to get them into, you know, third and eight and nines, you know, kind of situation.
I feel great about those situations.
Absolutely.
And especially, with backup offensive tackles in there.
Jack Conklin was went from limited in practice to not practicing with his knee injury yesterday. And then you also have Taylor Wan
in
the concussion protocol.
So he might be able to come back. There's not a whole lot of brain there to rebound and rehab. So it's like I would imagine a smaller brain can recover more quickly. I'm not a doctor. That's just my feeling.
Now,
those two might be the most annoying combo of offensive tackles in the league because they're just so.
What did Conklin do?
Because they're both. Well, they look like two guys that think they're sexy, but they're just these greasy, big, fat guys. And they're like greasy, like literally greasy. They look like they just finished a double shift at the Waffle House. And it drives me nuts. They're so annoying. Taylor Lewan gets his ass kicked and then blames everybody else in the universe when he gets his ass kicked for his quarterback getting hurt.
Highest paid offensive lineman ever.
He's the reason that Mariota got rolled up on a couple years back because he held that Miami Dolphins player. Was it Audrick or whatever?
Yes.
On his way to the quarterback and then gets to whine about how Audrick's a dirty player afterwards.
I'm Taylor the One. I went to Michigan. I'm Jack Conklin. I went to Michigan State.
Where is there a frat boy I can beat up? Because that's what I'm here. I'm here to sleep with women and beat up your frat boy.
I'm boss from Ohio State. What's from that? Ohio State. That's the key. Yeah. Frat boy from Ohio State.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him. On the flip side, offensively. All right, so they get Will Fuller back most likely Sunday. That's a really good thing. If you're Bill O'Brien, I blame Bill O'Brien for the game. I blame Deshaun mostly on the offense because he had some open receivers, 4th and 5. He missed Ryan Griffin, who was open in the end zone. The interception was an unacceptable throw. You can't be throwing deep to two guys covering Vincent Smith. That's always a bad decision. Miller was open.
You didn't think one of those guys was going to be there.
Also that.
But, you know,
he's got to know
wrong. I'm not trying to say it, but like, that, you know, you did not anticipate one of those guys essentially being there to cover him. But yes,
there are some stats that show that Deshaun was way better when he got rid of the football quickly on Sunday against the Pats. I imagine that's the game plan. Get rid of the football quickly. Take what the defense gives you. Don't necessarily push the ball down the field in questionable spots. What's the balance with a guy like Deshaun Watson where he's got those Favre gunslinger tendencies versus, okay, let's just take what's given to us in front of us and not try to play hero ball, because it felt a little bit like he was playing hero ball a lot more than he should against the Patriots.
Yeah, it was interesting. It just seemed like he was just late on everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, his decision-making process was just late. There were times where he should have gotten rid of the ball quicker, and he just didn't. And then you end up holding it, and then you end up having to essentially be this gunslinger and throw a ball that is not necessarily what you'd consider a 50-50 ball. It's probably not a good ball you should throw. It's a throwaway ball. And so, you know, everything that's been hammered into him this entire week has all about quicker decision-making process, getting the ball out quicker, because the game plan actually was pretty decent in my opinion. Like, there were windows to actually deliver it if it was on time. Nothing was on time. Mm-hmm. That was the problem.
Even the ones, right? It wasn't just a matter of being inaccurate. It was late and inaccurate,
exactly.
Or there were opportunities that he passed up, and just, and it's easy to pick those out from play to play, but it was enough of them that it was a consistent theme that you saw that. And that's where I just, you know, I want to ask ex-players about this, because I don't know, I bitched about preseason games as much as the next guy when I was playing. But I think if I had gone into a season without having played a good chunk in one of the preseason games, I liked getting at least two quarters of work in.
I agree.
You have to find that balancing act, but there's guys now where wholesale starters aren't playing more than two or three or four series the entire preseason. I think that has an effect in week one. You're just not ready for the speed of the game.
It absolutely has effect. I mean, look, the preseason is in no way similar to the speed of the regular season, just like the regular season is no way similar to the playoffs. But it's a lot closer than practice.
Yeah.
And it's a lot closer than joint practice, right? And so it was weird. I agree with you. I liked having at least one game where I played two quarters and I came out of halftime and got myself ready to go for one more series.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that was kind of an important, that was the lead up. You saw the Patriots did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of was their approach. And, you know, and they did, they just looked crisper.
But that's part of the conditioning too. It's physical conditioning, but it's also just psychological conditioning, getting comfortable, because you never feel, do you remember the first series of the first regular season game? You've never been so tired in your life.
Absolutely.
And you come to the sidelines with, like, if it's like a 10-play series or the first series of the first game, you're just not, you need to learn to let your body relax between plays and everything. You're just a little too hyped up. And you don't get that, I think, if you're out there. And when Deshaun Watson was talking about the lack of energy out there, it looked like a preseason game. That first half of a damn Patriots game to me felt like I was watching a preseason game. There was no juice in the crowd. There was no juice
on
the field.
That crowd has totally lost its juice.
Crowd.
It's a
they
bad
just don't
crowd
care
now.
Anymore.
They don't care.
They haven't had juice in 10 plus years.
And
yeah,
so
someone who used to go on a regular basis, when they moved to Gillette Stadium, it stopped being a loud stadium.
Really?
Yeah.
And by the way, you're not going to have juice this week either.
Yeah.
So you better manufacture it. You better bring it with you.
Yeah.
Because Tennessee's not going to be a rowdy stadium.
Nissan Stadium.
I have a question about that, though.
Nissans are awesome, though.
The energy level on offense. And I understood what Deshaun was saying, and I do think that Deshaun is an energy and rhythm kind of player. You can see that watching him play. But is that something that you can rely on consistently? Because to me, I'm more about executing the game plan and executing your plays. Seth talked this week about how some of the games that he played in Jacksonville, it was like a morgue on the sideline, but they went out and beat dudes by like 30 or 40 points. Can you rely on energy every single week? Does that make sense? I don't know if that's something that you can tap into like every single day, every single game.
You know, I mean, that was my talk to Stanford. You know, I was one of those guys to where I literally thought you needed to be physically, mentally, and then emotionally ready to play the game of football.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, without the emotion, like, you need to probably be done. You know? And so yes, I do believe that you can manufacture it. And that's probably one of the hardest things about being a pro athlete is that, hey, look, every single week, it's going to be a different time. But at that moment, you have to be ready. You have to be at your peak. And so I did approach it that way. I do think it is possible. You know, I mean, I watch sometimes, I was watching the old school University of Miami, you know, kind of the hype videos and what they would do in the tunnel and how they would talk and kind of what. It was just, it's hilarious.
See, I just, because it's not that I don't think you can get away with playing without energy. It's that sometimes collectively it doesn't feel like you're all just like jumping in unison and everything. That like sometimes guys are just focused. And
yes.
That it's like, it's not a bad thing necessarily if after something bad happens that you don't all get together and give each other a pat on the butt and tell you, you know, like, hey, I respect you as a human. Let's go out there and do better. That it's just like, no, sometimes guys are just working.
Well, there's energy and then there is rah-rah.
Yeah.
And I don't think you necessarily have to have rah-rah, you know, the in order to have energy.
But you guys can tell what rah-rah is compared to the energy, right?
Of course.
Like, you guys can see through
it's
that.
It's anyone who's mic'd up. That's rah-rah.
Yeah, that's
whenever someone's
it's
mic'd
Ray
up.
Lewis, it's Ray Lewis when the camera light is red.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, wow, look at that. Ray really sparked up. Oh, the sideline camera's on.
Matt takes on the way. I have a